This is the Barbecue Central Radio Show, which is recorded live each Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Barbecue Central Radio Show is being brought to you by The Barbecue Guru, the original creators of automatic temperature control devices, now offering four different models for you to choose from. Rest easy knowing that The Barbecue Guru is controlling your temperature so you can get on with your life. Visit bbqguru.com or call 800-288-GURU for more information. And by Fred's Music and Tasty Licks BBQ Supply, your online barbecue and grilling superstore. From cookers to grills, wood chips and chunks, and everything in between, also be sure to try the Tasty Licks barbecue brand of rubs and sauces. Check Fred out online at tastylicksbbq.com. And by Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. Located in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio, Stephen DeFranco Jewelers is a family-owned and operated business looking to service the great folks of the barbecue and grilling world. Get free shipping and big discounts by mentioning my name and the term Barbecue Brother. Check out their inventory by visiting StephenDeFranco.com. And by Butcher Barbecue, with 30 years of experience in retail, wholesale, meat markets, food service, and customer service. Using that experience, everything they do and sell at Butcher's Barbecue comes from real-world knowledge. Check out their award-winning spices, sauces, marinades, and injections by visiting ButcherBBQ.com. Always trust your butcher. And by Green Mountain Grills. Discover something you'll really, really love. Grilling with pellets. Green Mountain Pellet Grills are the top of the line, best of the best, but not the highest in price. And be sure to check out all of their flavor rubs, sauces, and pellets for the Green Mountain Grill all on their website. Visit greenmountaingrills.com to peruse the entire product's portfolio. And by Barbecuers Delight Wood Pellets. Two-thirds oak, one-third flavor wood, giving you that perfect combination of BTU burn and sweet, succulent smoke you're looking to get all over your meat. A wide variety of flavors, so please go to the website to check it out and get yours today. Barbecuers Delight, which is BBQRSDelight.com.
Give me a beat!
Hello, everybody. This is Gary Van Nerchuk, host of Wine Library TV, a.k.a. WLTV, the number one wine show on the internet. And this is BBQ Central.
You can smoke like an expert pitmaster with a Cook Shack smoker, right?
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Good evening and welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. Yeah, it's the show that talks about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling, broadcasting live and direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, Ohio. Rapidly becoming known as the barbecue capital of the North Coast. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday. Two ways to get in touch with the show if you want to do it tonight, 877-448-0433. You can also email the show if you want to, greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the two ways to get in touch with me. Everything else about the show can be found at the website, thebbqcentralshow.com. Here's what's happening on the show tonight. Coming up in about 13 minutes from now, little pitmaster from Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, ladies and gentlemen. Harry Sue joins the show. We got him, I'd say, roughly, well, at least one full segment for sure. And I would imagine that we would also be pulling him for a second segment as well. So Harry Sue coming up, slapyodaddybbq.com. And then in the second hour, first timer to the show. She is a beer expert. She is the... raw materials process manager, North America, for Anheuser-Busch. Look, she just knows a lot about beer, and she's a chick. Sarah Schilling joins me. For the folks that were down at the Kingsford Invitational with me on the tour of the Anheuser-Busch plant in St. Louis, Sarah led the luncheon beer food pairing. So the minute I heard her start talking about beer and pouring, she changed my life, and I was like, man, I immediately approached her in a very professional way after the fact and said, man, I got to get you on. So months later, she's finally coming in, very excited about that. And then helping me close the show, coming out of the bullpen, two-thirds of the badass bitches, Becky Rempe, Becca Sfagerko, joined me to talk about any number of topics that we'll be discussing tonight. Plus, of course, if you have a desire to call in, get a female input on anything, more than happy to do that as well. So that's what's happening here on the show tonight. 877-448-0433. Email Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. And it is cocktail time tonight. Tonight, we're going to be making a thing called the Caipirinha. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get after it. You know what time it is. It's cocktail time. All right, so we got to go over into the library of libation. Whoa, wait a second. Didn't change camera shots there. Got to do that. Otherwise, you're not going to see nothing. All right, so we head over to the Library of Libations. Hi. Hot chick saying hi to me. That's right. All right, so tonight we're making the Caipirinha. This is a drink that is very popular in Brazil. Hi, Maddie. And I want to give thanks to John Pierce from England. I know we gave England a hard time last week about starting charcoal fires in homes to do laundry. But he drinks Caipirinha like it's going out of style. Weeks ago, he's like, hey, got to try it out. And I was like, hey, I like to drink. I like liquor. Sounds like a match made in heaven, John. I can't wait to try it out. But here's one thing you need to take into account. The main liquor of a Caipirinha is a liquor called cachaça. It is a sugar cane, or it's a cane distillate. So it's not like rum. And it is not like tequila, although maybe a little bit similar in taste and how they're made. You can't really find this excessively or easily in a lot of liquor stores. So call first. You might have to actually buy it online. This is the kind that I think is most common out here in the States. It's called Leblon Cachaça. And this is your main liquor ingredient. All right, so little effort into this one, but well worth it once the journey has come to an end. So here's what you got to do. Items tonight, cachaça. You need caster sugar, which is a very finely ground sugar. It's not just like table sugar. You need a muddler. You need a bar spoon. You should always have one of these anyway, if you're a drinker. We need what will end up being a half of a lime for this drink. So you can get two drinks out of a lime. And tonight I will be measuring ounces, which I rarely do. All right, so step one. Oh, rocks glass. Gotta have a rocks glass. All right, so step one, we're going to be cutting the lime in half. And I apologize if you can't see this very well. But here we go. Right down in half. And then we'll go ahead and kind of even this out a little bit. Cut off the... And so now we have, now you can see here you have this white center pit. So we're going to cut that out as well. So we're going to make a little bit of a, let's call it a V incision. And now we've taken that white pit out. And here's what it looks like otherwise. Now we're going to cut this in half lengthwise. Just like this. And now we have it cut in half, and now we're going to go make three cuts in the opposite direction. So we're going to have like, let's call it six cubes of equal length. This is taking a little bit longer than normal because I'm obviously explaining. So we'll go ahead and take the six cubes here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We'll put them in a rocks glass. We'll go ahead and set the lime off to the side. That'll be for the next drink. And then we'll take caster sugar. This is also super fine sugar as well. And then you take your bar spoon, 2 heaping bar spoons. So we'll go in here, 1, 2. Go ahead, put the top back on the caster sugar. And then we'll go ahead and add just a little bit of the cachaça. And that will take our muddler, and we will go ahead and muddle the limes. So basically what we're doing here is kind of twofold here. We're not really looking to get the sugar dissolved. It's actually acting as more of an abrasive. But we're muddling down onto the rinds of the limes. So we're getting the oils out of the rinds. We're also getting the juice out of the lime flesh itself. That's going to be good right there. Now we're going to go ahead and fill this up with ice. Have the ice freezer right here. Here we go. Now, you know, not too much. So here's what we're looking like right now. Now we'll go 2 ounces of cachaça. So we'll go ahead and pour this in. Put the top back on, and then 2 ounces go right in. And we'll take just the open side of our shaker here. We're going to have poured in. We'll fasten the top right here. I ran out of music. And we're going to shake it for about 5 seconds, just until the sugar is dissolved. And this is the only drink where I know of that we're actually just going to take everything and return it right back to the glass. We're not going to add more ice. We're not going to do anything else like that. I'm going to go ahead and press the lime wedges down. And there you go. This is a Brazilian delight called the Caipirinha. Oh, that's fabulous. All right, we're going to head back to the broadcast excellence, the console of broadcast excellence, as they say. Here we go. And now we are back with the Caipirinha. All right, there you go. Again, this is what it looks like. All said and done, you have your lime wedges in there. And it's, look, if you don't, some things that you want to take into account. If you don't like lime, you're not going to like this drink. If you don't like pulp, you're not going to like this drink. If you don't like lime pulp, you're not going to like this drink. If you like lime, there is kind of a tequila-ish, but not like tequila straight, but a tequila-ish component. I like tequila myself, so that's definitely not a negative for me, but definitely something I can see drinking in the summertime for sure. But you know me, drink anytime if you like it. It doesn't matter if it's summertime, if it's not summertime, whatever. Drink it because you like it, and I like Caipirinha, so thanks to John Pierce for the recommendation. Once you get the process down, it's lickety-split. I'll probably make one in between the first and second hour. Try Caipirinha, but you got to find that cachaça. That's a little bit more difficult to find. I know you can do it, though. I trust you. Again, let me tell you quickly about ways to step up your barbecue and grilling games. And that, of course, is with Dave Bosca from ButcherBBQ.com. We all know Butcher's well known for the injections, the pork, the beef, now that prime injection, which has combined all the things loved from their beef injection. Using its award-winning flavor enhancer and its ability to keep your brisket juicy, they have combined it with what has become the competition standard in beef flavor as well. Available for sale right now at ButcherBBQ.com. Now, perhaps you're looking for a go-to rub or sauce. Friends, you've hit the mother load here as well. Butcher's Barbecue has a full line of award-winning rubs. One of my personal favorites is that steak and brisket rub. But grab some honey rub as well. You recall last year, that garnered a huge amount of attention on the internet from reviewers and experts all over the place. Try the premium rub, especially if you inject with Butcher's Barbecue. because it's formulated to work with those injections, a perfect 1-2 punch to impress judges and friends alike. And last but not least, Butcher's Barbecue Sweet Barbecue Sauce. Look, when it comes to sauces that are made by other people and not me, I'm as picky as it gets, right? The Butcher's Sweet Sauce wins in every category for me. Not overly sweet, a nice slice of tang, just the right amount of back-end heat, and for crying out loud, no liquid smoke. Dave took the time and effort to make a quality sauce and didn't take the easy way out like most people do when they add that devil's urine, better known as liquid smoke. Grab a box of six because it's going to go fast in your house. Now you might be thinking, what about the shipping? It's going to break me. No, it's not going to break you. Items totaling up to $55 ship at $8.50. $55 to $200 ship at $9.75. Anything over $200 ships free. That's right. No cost to you because you bought $200 worth of stuff. So go do yourself a buy $200 worth of stuff. Save the ship. Head on over to ButcherBBQ.com. Stock up now. ButcherBBQ.com. That's Butcher's Barbecue. Always trust your butcher. And we're coming back with Harry Sue. Don't forget, we got a bunch of stuff to win tonight as well, so you are locked and loaded for a great show. 27,000 people have subscribed on Roku as well. Got to get Roku. We'll talk about that as well. Stick around. We'll be right back with Harry Sue.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Oh, man. Look, if you can find the cachaça, I'm telling you right now, the caipirinha is a drink that is crazy. God, this is so good.
Mm. I love it when it goes like...
Yeah, yeah. All right, we are back. 14 past the hour, 877-448-0433. Email address, greg@thebbqcentralshow. Let's all do it together right here. Here we go.
Yeah!
All right, my first guest tonight, a championship pitmaster working the KCBS circuit. There was no better chicken cook in the country last year. Team finished 20th overall for KCBS Team of the Year points race. Also teaches competition and backyard classes fresh off a trip from the KCBS end of the year banquet. Let's go ahead and race over the hotline and welcome back friend of the show, pitmaster of Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, Harry Sue, joining us. Harry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful, Greg. How about you?
Doing absolutely fabulous, Harry. Appreciate you making time for me. You know, it was kind of a quick back and forth out there in St. Louis, and I assume you're back home now. So if you could, and I know you had a big write-up on the blog, which can be found at slapyodaddybbq.com, but for the listeners in tonight, you know, maybe some of those favorite moments and some of those takeaways that you had from the KCBS banquet this past weekend.
Absolutely. It was a fun event, and this would be equivalent to, say, our Academy Awards or the Oscar ceremony for pitmasters. There were probably about, I don't know, 300 to 500 pitmasters and judges and officials and interested parties at the Sheraton Hotel in Kansas City. It was a little cold in the 20s, but I think most of us were huddled in the ballroom, and the event went very smoothly and without a glitch.
All right, so when you go to an event like this, I mean, obviously, you know, you were going to be getting Chicken Team of the Year, but this isn't the first time you've been. So, you know, when you go, are there certain things that you are looking to do? Are there certain teams you're looking to meet? Are you just going to kind of see and be seen amongst the barbecue elite at KCBS? What are your motivations to get out there?
I think this is the ultimate kind of, how should I say, acknowledgement in the country, where the top pitmasters in the nation get an opportunity to be recognized for their contributions and for their efforts during the year. It's also an opportunity to kind of touch base with some old friends and to meet new faces and to find out what the vibe is all about. As you probably, everybody's aware, you know, so the sort of barbecue capital is Kansas City. So it's always nice to be back there. I was back there in October for the Royal. I was there a couple of years ago. Last year they had the ceremony in San Diego where it was a little bit warmer. But it's always nice to go out to Kansas City, hang out with friends.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. SlapYoDaddyBBQ.com is his website. Harry, did you meet anybody there that you weren't familiar with that you were like, wow, this is somebody that I'm going to keep an eye on this coming season? Or maybe a new team that after you talked to them kind of really sparked and invigorated or reinvigorated your interest in competition barbecue and said, yeah, I'm going to keep tabs on these guys and see where they end up at the end of the year?
Yes, and, you know, it's good to see familiar faces. It's also good to see new faces. I was just surprised at sort of the age group of all the winners this year. They seem to be getting younger, and, you know, I feel kind of a little bit tired after seeing all the new top barbecue teams go out and sort of kick out behind. But, you know, 2013 is a new year. We're going to be heading back and battling it to the fullest.
All right, so where do you stand with Kansas City Barbecue Society right now, Harry? Do you like the direction that they are taking? Are there some things that you would like to see improved on? Let's have Harry Sue's two cents on that whole deal.
You know, I'm a sort of an agnostic competitor. I compete under several sanctioning bodies, and I just enjoy competing under all the different rules and kind of the constraints that each of the sanctioning bodies place on the cooks. It's always been my belief that you need to know how to kind of, you know, make the most of the rules, good or bad, scoring systems, and particular sort of, you know, idiosyncrasies of each sanctioning body. I cooked under the PNWBA, under the BCS, KCBS, IBCA. So I cook under many sanctioning bodies, and I've won in all of them. So I know that when you cook good barbecue, at the end of the day, the judging is pretty objective, pretty impartial, and really the good teams rise to the top.
You know, you have an instance where you, for instance, an IBCA is typically, or at least on the periphery, known as more of like a fan favorite judging style, whose tastes best wins. KCBS has really stringent ways of grading the meat while it's in your mouth and then putting paper to pencil or pencil to paper and getting scores. You've alluded to the fact that being able to cook in these different sanctioning bodies kind of hones and enables you to craft your skill even better. Is there a possibility where you could pick good things out of all of the different sanctioning bodies and make one, you know, grand champion style barbecue competition series, do you think?
You know, Greg, I don't think there's any perfect system. There are systems that perhaps work well under one set of circumstances and systems that work well under a different set of circumstances. I'll give you an example here. The IBCA scores on a scale of 1 to 10. So you give a composite score essentially for how it looks, how it tastes, how it smells, and how tender it is. And you're forced to give one number. The judges eat with a fork and a knife, plastic fork and a knife, and all the judges go through all the entries. That's how they're set up. Contrast that with the KCBS, where six judges essentially taste the meat and they try to rotate the presentation so that your meat doesn't go to the same table more than once. There are pros and cons from both approaches, and you know it will probably be sort of like a three-hour debate as to what's good and what's bad. But I think at the end of the day, right, I will say one thing for true is that good barbecue will usually rise to the top.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. You know, had a very successful 2012. Harry really started out like a house of fire and reached that personal goal of getting down to Jack Daniels finally. As you look back, and I guess in a general summation, how do you look at the 2012 season specifically?
The 2012 season was really a landmark year for Celebrity Daddy Barbecue. It was the, you know, I think the first full year I cooked as a solo cook. And I started the year off with a bang with a grand championship in Lake Havasu against 70 to 80 teams. And we basically kind of snowballed from that point on. I had an opportunity to, you know, be invited to teach in England. I get a chance to compete in England. I won a grand in England. I also was extended the opportunity to teach in Hawaii. I went to Hawaii. I had a chance to compete in Hawaii. I won in Hawaii. So it's been a phenomenal year. I had a chance to go to the Royal. I cooked the Jack. I cooked the King of the Smoker. So it has been a phenomenal year. I only did about 23 contests, which is pretty low for me since I'm in the 30 to 40 range. But last year was a phenomenal year. I got a chance to travel, got a chance to make new friends, and most importantly, in my opinion, spread some barbecue happiness.
You mentioned England, and I've had a couple different folks on from over the pond talking about barbecue. I mean, if you look all the way back in the history books, let's call it 2004 when you had Mad Cow really changing the way that the Jack Daniels was going to be ruled from their win on. You know, they won the international portion, and of course they won the overall grand championship, which really caused an uproar amongst barbecuers here in the States. You know, 7-8 years down the road, you're over there, you're teaching, you're competing. For the people that don't realize what's happening over there, what does the barbecue landscape look like in England, and how do you see it growing in 3, 4, 5 years from now?
The barbecue in general has exploded. To give you an example, I have students as far as Korea coming to my class. A couple of Saturdays ago, I had a student from Australia. I've had students as far as Thailand. When I went to England, basically the classes sold out even before the registration forms were posted. And I taught two full classes for 2 days. They invited me back this year, and the folks in Hawaii have invited me. I'm teaching essentially maybe even Denmark this year. So barbecue has absolutely exploded, especially authentic American-style barbecue. Everybody wants to learn how to cook that barbecue, and everybody loves that wonderful taste of Americana.
How do you attribute Harry Sue and Slap Yo Daddy being invited out or being asked to go out to all of these different areas around not only the country but the world? You have a number of different pitmasters out there that are, you know, obviously on the same type of playing level. Is there something in the personality? Is there something that kind of magically draws people to Harry Sue and says, hey, this is a guy that gets it? And out of all of the pitmasters we could pull out of the country here in the United States, this is the guy we want. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I think there's several factors sort of kind of working in that direction. Number one, obviously, I was on a TV show, Barbecue Pitmasters, season one, and that got a lot of exposure because in that particular series, the audience got a chance to know the teams, the individual pitmasters, because we were on for several episodes.
Yep.
You know, they kind of changed the format after that where there wasn't a lot of exposure for each of the individual pitmasters, so that there was not much time for the audience to sort of bind with the pitmaster. So that was a big plus. The biggest plus I have is that the equipment I use. I cook most contests today with one Weber Smoky Mountain for all my four competition meets, and I use one bag of Kingsford. And that really resonates with a lot of people because they realize that, you know, you really don't have to spend a lot of money on equipment. There's this guy from California who's doing it on one smoker with one bag of charcoal. So everybody knows that they can also follow the same model. And I've shared all my recipes, all my techniques on the Internet. I've been extensively on most of the forums, including the virtual Weber Bullet, where I shared all my secrets. In my classes, right, I continue to pass on my version of barbecue love, to share my passion, to build all these ambassadors, what I call ambassadors of happiness. You know, in barbecue, it's really not important kind of how you cook it or what you cook, but why you're doing it. I do it because this is something I love to do, and I would like to basically pass on what I know to as many people as I can.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. What do you have planned for the upcoming year in 2013?
2013 is going to be a time for me to sort of kind of take a step back and look at which direction I want to go. I've been on the competition circuit for many years, five years. And what I want to try to do is kind of focus on the main contest. I spent a lot of time cooking the smaller ones, which really took a toll on me physically. When you're in your vehicle driving 6-7 hours, you know, every single weekend, cooking around the country, it kind of takes a toll. So I would, for 2013, I really kind of want to focus on the contests that matter, and I would like to basically spend more time teaching, because there has been a huge increase in the interest for barbecue classes, and what I want to try to do is share my love with as many people as I can. You know what they say, Greg, it's very important that we all have clarifying points in our life. I saw this video on TED.com about this lady, Cindy Chang, who said that one of the most powerful ways to clarify your life is to ask yourself this question. Before I die, I will blank, and you filled it in. So I realized for me, I have a special skill. I have the ability to teach people how to cook, but most importantly, I have this ability to teach people how to spread happiness. So I told myself, is my statement for myself, before Harry Sue dies, he wants to spread his love and passion on how to cook barbecue to 1,000 people. That's what was my goal. And it really has focused me on really what I need to do. I can't believe it. I've trained about 700-plus people in barbecue, hands-on, one-on-one, heart-to-heart, a dozen at a time. And I want to try to reach that goal of 1,000 pitmasters that I'm going to pass on what I do.
Have you ever met Famous Dave, Harry? Famous Dave Anderson?
I actually had Famous Dave in my class a couple of years ago. He was such a gracious man, and he was so incognito. He came to my class. and sat in the back, asked a lot of good questions, and at the end of my class, I hand my students a certificate saying they graduated from my class. So can you imagine my reaction when I gave him the certificate and he told me who he was? This would be a tantamount to me giving Colonel Saunders a certificate on how to cook chicken.
Well,
the man was so gracious. He was a perfect gentleman. And he actually told me that in 35 years of barbecuing and owning 200-plus restaurants, he learned a few things from me. And I thought that was a really, really phenomenal compliment.
The reason that I ask is because, you know, I've had you on the show 3-4 times now, and there's a few things that kind of always tie back to Harry Sue. You know, season one of Barbecue Pitmasters, to the chicken hat, and of course I have a picture of you up for the viewing audience with the chicken hat on right now. And then the fact that you're always looking to spread the barbecue love, as you say it. And I had interviewed finally Famous Dave maybe 3-4 weeks ago. And in certain parts, I was like, am I talking to Famous Dave Anderson or am I talking to Harry Sue here? Because he was talking about, you know, spreading love and barbecue is love. So I thought there was almost like a kindred spirit there when I was talking to him.
Yes, when Dave and I, first met, we felt that we were kindred spirits together for the same purpose in life. And when you have a talent, it's not yours to keep. You have to find what the purpose is of that talent. And in my opinion, what I need to do is I need to pass it on to as many people as I can.
Right here. So let me ask you about this. One of the biggest topics I wanted to hit with you tonight was cooking chicken. And when we were together at the Kingsford Invitational last November, you mentioned that you were kind of on this new mission telling people to cook to a different internal temperature than what the FDA is currently recommending. So let's just go ahead and get it out on the table. We'll clear up any misconceptions or misinformations that's proliferating the internet right now. What's the process and what are the specs that you should be hitting?
Okay. First off, I want to say that a lot of the governmental regulations are oversimplified. For example, in most textbooks and most websites, they tell you to cook chicken to 165.
Right.
I think you've heard that, you've seen that many times, right?
Yep.
What they don't really share with you is the science behind that statement. Then the question that should be asked by everybody, for how long?
For how long?
And for how long, exactly. So the government has been somewhat coy in sharing the knowledge of how long. Because if you cook it at 165, right, you need to only cook it at 165 for 15 seconds. And they don't share the 15-second part. So the if you are a kind of a like a backyard cook or a competitor like me, right, you want to ask the right questions. The right question to ask is what causes problems with chicken? And there are a couple of things that come to my mind. The first thing is you want the juices to run clear. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. The second thing you want to do is you want to kill the bad stuff or the pathogens or the germs on the chicken.
Right.
Right. So let me address each of those two main questions in part so that, you know, your audience has a better understanding of that.
Okay.
So we know that when we cook chicken, we want to cook it until the juices run clear. But did anybody ask the question scientifically, right, in a control setting, what are some of the scientific principles behind juices running clear? So in chicken, right, you essentially have kind of two components you're dealing with. One is called myoglobin, which is the blood in the tissue,
yep,
and a hemoglobin, which is kind of the red in the blood. Now, we ask ourselves the question, scientifically in the lab, when do those red substances turn colorless? And the answer is about 135 degrees. Huh. Okay, so that takes care of that part about basically having chicken that kind of, you know, juices run clear. So 135 to 140 degrees is sufficient to let juices run clear.
Okay.
So let's then now switch back to the second question is as, what is the safe temperature to cook the meat, right, so that the bad stuff in the meat is killed?
Yep.
So first of all, what are the bad stuff that's in chicken? Well,
salmonella.
There are about like a dozen different, like they call pathogens in chicken.
Sure.
Some of them are very familiar to your audience, things like botulism, things like E. coli.
Salmonella.
Things like salmonella,
right,
listeria, and so on, right? So all pathogens have what is known as a temperature by which they die, okay?
Yep.
So, for example, if you look at just one, for example, salmonella, which is very common, salmonella is essentially dead at 116 degrees. And the rest of the pathogens, there's about a dozen of them, they are probably all dead by about 130 degrees. Okay? So from a safety standpoint, the scientists have proven that through many, many different tests, that these pathogens or germs essentially can be neutralized by heat. And I want to tell your readers not to trust me. Go online and look at the research done by the FDA and the research done by a gentleman by the name of Juneja. And he is the actual scientist who published all these tables. So for the sake of brevity, I think what the FDA did is they just published the upper end of the number, which is 165 degrees, right, for about, 15 seconds. And kind of simplified it for everyone. So as we know, when you cook meat at a high temperature, you have a couple of problems. Number one, the moisture gets wrung out of the meat, and then the meat kind of gets dry.
Yep.
So I looked at some of these tables and on the internet, and these tables are generally available because these are what I call peer-reviewed scientific publications. And I noticed that you can actually cook chicken longer at a lower temperature and basically make the chicken safe by killing all the pathogens to the standard that the government dictates, which is known as a 7D, which is a logarithmic scale of how much of the bacteria is dead. So this is all based on science that you can actually cook chicken at a lower temperature and hold it at that temperature for a specific amount of time, and the meat will be safe.
So you're basically cooking it lower and longer, but it's still safe.
Exactly. So the temperature that I pick, which is a conservative temperature, I like to do my chicken breast at around 145 degrees, and I hold it for about 5 minutes.
And you're holding it at 145 for 5 minutes?
Yes. That's all that's needed. And you can tell your audience to try it, cook a piece of chicken breast in the oven, and wait till it gets to about 145 internal temperature, take it out, wrap it in foil, and let it sit at 145 for at least 5 minutes.
Okay.
Right? And then cut it open and taste it. It's going to be a completely night and day difference than if you cook your breast to 165.
All right, so we're talking with Harry Hsu. Harry, can you hang with me through a break here real quick, and then we'll pick up our conversation? All right. We're talking with Harry Hsu from Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, slapyodaddybbq.com. We're going to pick up the chicken talk here in just a second. Let me quickly talk to you about Fred's Music. Come on now. We know it's not Fred's Music anymore. It's Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply. Look, if you're going to buy something on the internet, what am I pounding on? You can't find it locally. You don't have a specialty barbecue store around you because you don't live in Kansas City, or you don't live in Iowa, which is a barbecue hotbed, or you don't live in Sterling Balls Compound, Big Papa Smokers. So you got to go on the internet and find some stuff, right? Head on over to TastyLicksBBQ.com. And let the internet buying stresses just kind of exude from your body. Purge them, because it's all going to be right up your alley. And here's what I mean. All of these items that you see on Fred's website, they're in stock. Okay, so it's like one of the most complete inventories of barbecue and grilling items anywhere on the face of the earth. Again, all in stock, ready to ship to you directly. Now, there's probably other places on the internet you can go and find some items cheaper, but are you going to get them? Are you 100% sure that it's going to ship to you? How long is it going to take to ship with you? No one can answer those questions with 100% surety. And that's why when you buy from Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply, the items are in the store. They ship to you promptly. And everything in the store is priced fairly. Look, if you want to work out some special deal with Fred himself, I'm sure he'll field a call. He's a businessman. Maybe you guys can hash out some super deal, Willie, between you. But here's what I'm telling you. Tasty Licks carries grills, smokers, ceramic cookers, electric cookers, various charcoal types, wood chips, chumps, pellets, accessories. If they don't have it, you don't need it. And on top of all of that, Fred carries many of the other Barbecue Central show sponsors in his store as well. So you're almost doing this two for one. You're shopping at a sponsor. You're buying sponsors' products. Best of both worlds. Of course, Tasty Licks has their own line of barbecue sauces and rubs as well, doing very well in the competition circuit and in the backyard. So head on over to TastyLicksBBQ.com and let the confidence exude from you as you make your online purchases. Enjoy those items upon delivery, and don't forget that Fred and the gang are there to help you after the sale as well. TastyLicksBBQ.com. And of course, Fred was on a couple weeks ago. He's got Dan Hickson coming in for a cooking class. He does the master pizza cooking classes as well. He does a brisket cooking class. He's got it all. You're a competition guy, you're a backyard guy, you're a pizza guy, you need stuff. Tasty Licks is the place to go. TastyLicksBBQ.com. That's TastyLicksBBQ.com. We're coming back with a little bit more Harry Sue right after this. But straight ahead, first shot at a giveaway. We're going to be giving away some Ribs Within Rubs. Ribs Within Rubs. Oh, how about that? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Show where we give stuff away for no money. That's why it's free of charge. You can win. Now it's time to give stuff away.
All right. Actually, I misspoke. The first giveaway tonight is the Brian Corbett Smokin' Scully's competition sauce. So if you are interested, and look, rave reviews coming in for the first two people that have gotten their hands on this sauce. All say that it is on their top five all-time sauce list already. So if you're interested in getting some Smoke and Scully sauce, now is your time to do it. Get those emails up. And in the subject line of the email, Harry Sue, slap yo daddy. Harry Sue, slap yo daddy. Spell it right. Spell it right or you won't win. For your chance to win the Smoke and Scullies. And you get six bottles of sauce, if you can believe. He sends you a whole case. Outrageous. Again, in the subject line, Harry Sue, slap yo daddy for your chance to win Smoke and Scully sauce. Good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back, 877-448-0433, Greg at the BBQ Central Show. And we rejoin Harry Sue. Harry, appreciate you hanging with me through the break there. Let me get back to my quick outline. So we were talking about this chicken and the new temperature. Look, Harry, this is no shock to you, of course, but the majority of backyard cooks are pretty much pooping themselves right now, finding that 140 or 145 to be extremely low for a finished temperature on chicken, given the fact of what we're kind of brainwashed to think. So, because if we're looking at raw numbers, right, 165 to 140 is a pretty extreme drop.
Well, I think if you stick to 145 and you hold it for at least 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, you'll be fine. And I always tell people, don't listen to me. Go online and Google Juneta, J-U-N-E-J. He's the microbiologist for the FDA. And it's his studies and his results that the FDA based their regulations on.
When did you omit the
part about the time to simplify matters.
When did you decide that you wanted to start looking into this? I mean, most people see what the FDA publishes, and it's just, you know, gospel, dead, bang, boom. But that wasn't the same for you. You decided to start looking into it a little bit differently.
I decided to basically, you know, taste my own product. And when I tasted my product at that temperature, 165, 170, I found that, you know, hey, you know, it looks like the chicken breast has dried out. And as I asked the questions, I realized that, you know, for pork, right? The FDA changed the temperature range for pork. So I asked myself the question, you know, if they're changing for pork and chicken is still meat and protein, why the difference in the temperature? So I'm a curious person, and, you know, I went online and started to look for scientific journals on this matter. And there's a wealth of material. If you type in poultry science on Google, there's so much you can learn from published studies that are peer-reviewed.
Now,
done by the scientists themselves.
Is this just like white meat, or is this, you know, regardless of white or thigh or wing or whatever?
The actual results that he published was he did what he called a worst-case scenario. He ground up chicken breast, and he ground up chicken thigh. So when you know when you grind meat, right, you transfer the pathogens from the surface into the middle of the meat.
Yeah.
And these are all done under laboratory conditions where they actually, you know, inoculate the meat with the bacteria to make sure that there is bacteria. Because, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, there's bacteria out there that when you buy a piece of chicken, that there's a lot of it. But
yep.
They actually, under control studies, they actually take a mound of chicken flesh and they inoculate with the bacteria to ensure that a specific concentration in the bacteria is available in the chicken, and then they put it through all these tests. So these are done under very rigorous scientific and peer-reviewed methods. And they publish all these results. And I think that some of the government agencies decided to sort of take a simplistic look at some of these results, and they just quoted one number. But what is missing in that equation is how much time at 165.
Wow. So regardless, white meat, dark meat, it doesn't matter. As long as you are cooking it you know, at this temperature for this amount of time, you're pretty much good to go.
Yes. And I think to be specific, I think that some of the numbers that I was able to find show that about 5 to 10 minutes after you reach 145, you hold it. I think specifically for breast, it's about maybe four and a half minutes. For thigh, 5.5 minutes. So what I do is I play safe. I basically keep it there for about 10 minutes. So I have no chance of any bad situation happening.
All right, we're talking with Harry Sue from Slap Yo Daddy BBQ. You can find him at slapyodaddybbq.com. This is something you're teaching in classes too?
No, in class I teach people what the rule book says, but I do tell them that just for your information, that particular temperature, right, according to the rule book, is only for a very short period of time. And, you know, I tell them what I do. I say, this is for me. I'm not a microbiologist, nor am I a government official. I'm just a backyard cook. And I tell them what I do. I tell people, try it and see what you think. Go online, do the research, type in J-U-N-E-J-A in the Google, and all that information is out there. So I'm not really, you know, telling you anyone anything new. I'm just merely providing a reference to sources of information that I sought out.
You're providing a reference, but believe me, you are telling people something new right now, because instant chat is blowing up like crazy. You wouldn't believe it. all right, let me switch gears here just for a second. You know, I mentioned a little bit earlier you finally got your shot at the Jack last year. And having been on that mission of getting in, and at times over the years, you know, pretty public, you were there, I want to get to it. You know, there was the year where you won 7, and then it was bumped down to 6, and you didn't make it that year. So you're finally able to get there in 2012. What was it like for you? Did it meet, exceed? Did it happen to fall short of expectations? What was it like to finally get there, and how did you find it?
My response is everyone who is a pit master should try to experience the Jack. That's definitely worth an experience. And I've been told by people that you don't really get it until you have a chance to compete in it. And I did have my chance in October, and I really get it. It's really a one-of-a-kind, special, once-in-a-lifetime event. It is a privilege to cook the Jack, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, as I mentioned in my blog, there's just a lot of things going on. It's more than just a barbecue contest. There's a dozen side shows and events going on at the same time. So I went there, I had a lot of fun, I took it all in, and you know, I'm so happy that I was able to do that in my lifetime.
You were at the American Royal, you made it to the Jack. Of course, the question I love to ask pitmasters is, if you had the option of guaranteeing win at the Jack Invitational, I'm sorry, at the American Royal Invitational, or picking the Jack Daniels Invitational, but you can only pick one because obviously everybody wants to win both, right? Which one would you choose and why?
To prove myself to the world, it would have to be the American Royal, obviously, because, you know, you're up against the best of the best. The Jack is a great event because of the whole mystique and then how well you're treated, and it's really a fun cook. But the Jack is also, you know, a lot of teams get there through a lottery. So if I had to pick one of the two, I would love to cook both, don't get me wrong, if I had the opportunity.
Sure.
If I had to pick one of the two, I would cook the American Royal, because if you win the American Royal Invitational, you really have proven that you are really on top of the heap. I was so happy for my good friend Sterling from Big Papa Smokers when they won the American Royal Invitational. That was a landmark moment for me. I was so happy that finally, you know, a team from the West was able to, you know, show conclusively that, you know, a team from the West can cook against the best.
Do you think that there's still a little bit of disrespect, or maybe not disrespect, but there's other teams that are, you know, a little bit farther east, midsection farther east, that think that the West Coast still doesn't have the chops yet? Is that a solidifying moment?
Well, let me share an analogy. So if a U.S. team goes to Brazil and plays soccer, right?
What's soccer?
You know, I'm not sure that you know the team would be as highly regarded as a team from Brazil because you know the these people have been playing soccer a lot longer. I think in barbecue we have the same kind of regional competition going on. Obviously, there's no such thing as perfect barbecue because every region has its own style. The key is to be able to be flexible, to see if you can adapt to the style and still win in the different regions. We've seen some of the best teams from Kansas City, come out to the West and take us down. Crystal Lee won the King of Smoker, and a lot of the top teams on the Midwest have come out to the West and won. Likewise, it's nice to see that some of the teams from the West can go to the Midwest and also win.
Harry Sue joining us here on the show. You know, you cook a lot of events every year. You go all across the country, obviously the globe as well. Is there a favorite event that you make sure gets on that Slap Yo Daddy schedule every year, Harry?
You know, I have to say that I was just completely blown away by the King of the Smoker. It was a highly anticipated event for 24 of the best teams, the chosen, handpicked. You had to be either a legendary team, you had to be an up-and-coming team, or you had to be a current winner. And it was just a lot of fun to cook in Palm Springs in that great weather. And sure. The treatment that we received was absolutely first class.
Do you see this event becoming, something bigger than a one-off event every year invitationally? Do you see it becoming, something that stretches out across the country where there might be, let's call them local qualifiers that build into that King of the Smokers that took place at the end part of last year, culminating down there in Southern California?
I think wherever you have a contest where, there's a process to pick the best of the best to come together and really do a kind of like a throwdown, I think those kinds of events are absolutely phenomenal. I go back to the one that I was fortunate enough to be asked to judge, which was the Kingsford Invitational, where Melissa Cookston from Yazoo Delta Q won. That was, in my opinion, is sort of like a world, beyond a world championship. That's like a planet champion type of event. And I'm glad that, we're seeing the age where such events are now becoming a reality, where it's not just, kind of everybody claims that they're the best, but you put really the best into the same field and have them throw it all down against each other.
Do you have any type of take on that World Food Championships that took place also out there in Las Vegas? Do you see that as almost like a renaissance competition that might not overtake but kind of consume competition barbecue and all of a sudden it becomes World Food Championships? You're going against chefs and barbecue people and guys that write recipes and backyard people as well, all being able to compete on that same level playing field almost.
I think that was a great attempt to try to crown a planet champion cook. The dilemma, of course, they have and which I faced going there is that, you are comparing several different categories. And, I'm not sure how, it can be sort of sorted out because barbecue is kind of a unique genre on its own. And if you compare barbecue, say, against a hamburger, it's kind of a stretch to try to compare the two. I'm more of a fan of trying to establish the world champion within each food genre, say just American-style barbecue.
Are you going to be taking part in the Sam's Club Championship this year?
I would love to. However, I looked at the calendar, and for some reason there are no Sam's Club events in California, even though we have a large number of teams here. The closest one is in Tucson, which is a long stretch for me.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard after a long week at work to try to drive 7 hours, to go to a contest now that I'm a one-person team.
Don't you just fire up the Harry Sue G5 and jet out there and use other people's cookers? No problem, right?
Yes, I know of at least one pitmaster who can do that. Unfortunately, I'm not quite there yet.
Harry Sue joining me here on the show. All right, Harry, so what's coming up here over the next couple of weeks you'd like to promote here before I turn you loose?
Well, I am going to be teaching at Fred's Place in Tasty Licks on March 16th and 17th. I'm going to be at the Barbecue Pit store in Utah on April the 13th. And guess what? My good friend Sterling decided to help me launch a new rub that I have, which will be sold this week exclusively on his site for 60 days. Everybody's been asking me what's my secret chicken recipe. So I decided, hey, what I'll do is I'll share my secret recipe by putting my wrap for sale on BigPapaSmokers.com, and it goes on sale this week. And I, in my blog that I posted yesterday, I shared some really, kind of like insider tips on how to use my wrap to win contests. So, I encourage all your users to go check it out.
All right, so that's going to be at Big Papa Smokers exclusively for 60 days. We're talking with Harry Sue, pitmaster of Slap Yo Daddy. Harry, always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming out tonight.
All right, thank you.
You got it. There he is. Harry Sue, slapyodaddybbq.com is the website. And look, always a class act, no doubt about it. And really, shaking the very foundations of how chicken is cooked. And for literally months, I originally was saying 140, 145 as a whole. And then other people were saying, no, that's just white meat. So we finally got that all out of the bag. I asked Harry, is it white meat only? Is this white and dark meat? And then he said, we did worst case scenario. We ground up white meat. We ground up dark meat. We cooked them at those temperatures. So he's cooking at a lower temperature to 145. And then once he reaches 145, he's taking it out and then letting it rest for 5 minutes to make sure that any other funk nationness is killed off, and boom, he said you're going to be tasting a completely different type of chicken. Can you look, gang? The babes of the badass bitches are going to be coming on here at 10:35. We're going to be asking them if I cook chicken to 145. You know what I'm going to get?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no way.
Get that big stuff out of here.
How do we introduce chicken at 145 into the Rempe household? You tell me how to do that, free prizes for life. No doubt. All right, thanks again to Harry Sue. Look, guys, I cook on a pellet cooker. It's called the Grilla, and I love it. Pellet cooking has really changed my life, but the first thing I did when I got my grimy little mitts on one of those is I lobbed a phone call over to Candy Weaver at Barbecuers Delight. I said, Hey, Candy! I need some pellets. She said, well, why are you calling me? I said, Candy, you're widely considered to be the pellet resource for pellet-fired cookers. She said, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. Who is this? Patrick. I can tell you now, Greg, serve it with good boots. I know that's right. Prizes are going on right now. Straight up out of the break, we got another prize. Look, maybe you don't have a pellet cooker. No problem. You can still take advantage of the pellet revolution on your gas or charcoal grill or smoker by grabbing the cast iron pot option. Buy yourself a nice sampler pack of pellets, load 1/3 cup into the pot, and then place it into your cooker or grill. Let that sweet succulent smoke take care of the rest. And since pellets have been processed from sawdust by pressure, which generates heat, any contaminants present in the wood are eliminated. This process produces a sterile smoking wood product of consistent quality. Pellets are easy to use. You don't have to soak them in water prior to use. And they are easy to blend, so you can get consistent results each and every time with the use of Barbecuers Delight wood pellets. Do yourself a favor. Head on over to Barbecuers Delight right now. Visit them at bbqrsdelight.com. Check out all the flavors that they have, like 16 flavors. Sassafrassy. Stop fussing with the sticks and the chunks. Barbecuers Delight, ladies and gentlemen, the choice of competition cooks and backyard hacks just like me. BBQRSDelight.com. All right, when we come back straight away, your chance to win a 2-pack of Ribs Within Rubs from Doug Kyles.
Doug Kyles.
Hey, Doug Kyles. Get your fat fingers ready, Centralites, because it's your chance to win coming up right out of the break. Stick around. We'll be right back. People weighing in on telling me how I can sell 145 degree chicken in this house. Todd, you tell me how I can recalibrate my thermopen and you get prize for life. Your chance right now to win a 2-pack of Ribs Within Rubs. coming from the creator himself, Doug Kiles. You've seen him on Chopped Grill Masters Edition on the Food Network, or whatever the hell they called it. A bottle of Rub For All and a bottle of Wahoo! Chicken rub. Again, a bottle of Rub For All and a bottle of Wahoo! Chicken rub from Doug Kiles. Ribs within. All you have to do in the subject line is put big fat beefcake. Big fat beefcake. Don't screw up the spelling and you can win a 2-pack of Ribs Within Rubs from Doug Kiles. Good luck.
Big name interviews, advice on cooking brisket and ribs, and the only host willing to share his honest opinion on all things important in the world of barbecue, it's the Barbecue Central Show.
Who would have thought this music thing was going to go this far? I never asked for this. I never asked for this fast living, the women, the whiskey, craziness. There's whiskey in my soul. Hey, Bergen, go.
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air, cause I do things my way. The next time.
All right, we are back. 877-448-0433. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Remember, folks, beefcake is one word, so some of you misspelled. Shame on you. And the winner is Steve and Jenny. Steve and Jenny win Big Fat Beefcake, the 2-pack of Ribs Within Rubs. So congratulations to that. I know I'm a stickler on the spelling, right? What a dick. All right, we're getting ready for the second hour. I'm going to bump out early because I have to readjust the set a little bit for the live in studio guests. So we got Sarah Schilling from Anheuser-Busch coming up and the badass bitches, 10:35. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Wolf of Wolf Rub Barbecue Seasonings, and you're listening to Barbecue Central.
Happy to have you aboard here for the really big barbecue show.
We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Fine, how's it going?
I just like being anywhere with Junior, Senior, and Diva.
Sounds like a whole other type of movie.
Wow. Yeah, really.
Come on, Greg. You're asking a guy whose team name is Pellet Envy. So obviously the answer you're going to get is no.
So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead and he's in the crackle.
How hot is Kelly Ripa in person?
Kelly Ripa is super hot. She's absolutely delicious.
Oh, yeah.
You can butter base her and pint pinkies with that girl. She's delicious.
Succulent fish. What?
There's no Robert Porker who's in charge of pig meat out there.
You could use it to fight off creeping marauders looking to take your steaks off your grill.
I'm shaking like a dog shitting peach seeds.
Keep it hot, keep it clean, keep it lubricated. This right here is the premier media outlet.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Top men.
All right, just like that, we are into the second hour. Hold on, I gotta check something here real quick. Oh, that's. Oh. All right, hold on. Oh, that was the wrong screen. Stick with me here. Screen two. I got to. I got to make sure that I get my girls all straightened out here. one of these is set incorrectly. There we go. Let me go down. Perfect. All right. Thank you. Thanks again to Harry Sue for joining me. Last segment. Where do I want to leave you guys with what to look at? It's the Palatial Barbecue Studio, by the way. I need to go make me a drink. A drink. You're not going to be able to see me here, but I'm going to go. A couple weeks ago, you would recall, I made a drink called the Parnold Ulmer, which was the... what was that? I'd make another Caipirinha, but quite frankly, I just don't have the time. No offense to John Pierce. I would love to do that. But this is the vodka iced tea, and then it also has the lemonade topper, Parnold Ulmer. If you have been considering watching the show, not live, or you would like to see it on your big screen television, there is a device out there right now called Roku. It is what could be considered the anti Apple TV. It is a small little box that connects to your high definition television. Doesn't actually have to be high definition as well. And you are able to, through the use of your high-speed internet connection and Wi-Fi, you're actually able to stream this show live. The Outdoor Cooking Channel has its own app on there. And you could be one of what is now 27,000 different subscribers, believe it or not. Sylvie, I know the camera's not on me.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Yeah, that's right, Todd. It's cocked. I don't care if the camera's on me. It's cocktail time, damn it. When it's cocktail time, everything is out the window. And I need to get me some cocktail. All right. If you've been considering the Roku, I would definitely try it. I mean, I got the one that streams in 1080. Not everything is 1080 there, but, you know, for $15 more over the lower grade below 1080, I mean, why not? You can get it at Best Buy. You can get it at Roku.com. And then right there, once you hook it up, it takes about 3 minutes to set up. You get to watch it on your big screen television. The recordings are really good. You can see this face in high definition.
Stuff out of here.
Thanks again to Harry Sue for joining me. This past Sunday found the Destination America channel airing Pitmasters, Kentucky Champion, and somebody from Kentucky won. Didn't even watch yet. Fading fast, folks. Your thoughts fading fast. Wait a second. Hold on. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. 10 minutes. All right. Folks, breaking news coming in from Harry Sue. Let me read this. Hey, Greg, I want to be sure to you tell your listeners accurate and complete information. Please post on your website. I will. White meat chicken, 145, hold for 5 minutes. Harry holds his for 10 minutes. Dark meat chicken, 145, and hold for at least 6 minutes. He holds his for 10 minutes. So what have we learned? White meat and dark meat, 145, and then Harry holds his for 10 minutes. So do what Harry does. Hold for 10 minutes, and then you should be safe. And then he gives me a whole bunch of links, which I'll put on the website after the fact here. But audibly, let me tell you once again, Harry Sue, white meat chicken, 145 degrees internal temperature, and then he holds for 10 minutes. Dark meat chicken, 145 degrees internal, and then he holds for 10 minutes to make sure that he's eliminating those pathogens. So... there you go. Harry, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Man, I'm sorry. The first giveaway, which was Brian Corbett's Smokin' Scully's, forgot about this one, goes to Andy Beaver. Sorry about that, Andy. Hey, Andy, do you, by any chance, have any relation to beavers that lived in Mentor, Ohio? I want to owe you with a Wendy Beaver, believe it or not. The Bee! On the show next week, folks, Meathead is going to be back in from AmazingRibs.com. Dan Hickson will also be returning to the show, and we'll recap his Team of the Year victory in Kansas City Barbecue Society, plus many other great high-profile guests as well. Folks, hello? Hello? Did we talk about this last week? Oh no. Now hold on a damn minute. Second takes. Warning, this article is unavailable. Oh no. No.
Get that big stuff out of here.
This is an article that you need. This is an article that you need to have on your archives of your newspaper forever. Forever. Look, last week we talked about the English lady that brought in the barbecue from the garden to speed the drying process. You remember this lady?
Hello, Governor. I'm going into the garden now. I'm going to bring in the barbecue. I'm going to help speed the drying of the laundry by lighting a charcoal grill in my house and giving my kids carbon monoxide poisoning.
Worst idea ever.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Somebody in the States topped her because there was no heat in the house, brought in the charcoal grill in the bedroom, lit it to stay warm, summarily died.
Get that big stuff.
Can't light a charcoal grill in the house, in your bedroom, where you're sleeping, and think that you're going to live. Never happens.
Get that big
Never
stuff
happens.
Out of here.
Never happens. So here's what we need to do. Steve and Jenny, whoever that is, Big Fat Beefcake, you need to email me your shipping info and then reference Ribs Within, and then Adam. And then Andy Beaver, email me your shipping info and put Smokin' Scully's. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the two ways to get in touch with me. And there you go. Let me get rid of these so I don't have them anymore. You look, gang, regardless of how cold it gets, regardless, spread the word amongst friends and family and neighbors. Never, ever, under any circumstance, take a frickin' grill into your house, a charcoal grill, no less, and light it. Oh, it is beyond me. It says right on the charcoal bag. It does. Let me see if I can get into this real quick. What is going on in Portland, is it Portland, Oregon? Hold on. Make sure I got the sound up for this one. I'll get over to the video here. This is Portland, Oregon. Yes. This is going to be fabulous. Get ready for this one. I got to go full screen.
If you took the max this afternoon, you might have noticed something a little unusual. Hundreds of people without their pants. The No Pants Max ride took place today from 2 to 7:30 and was hosted by Splash Bar. Brave and cold participants met at a bar on Northwest Cooch near 10th before riding to Pioneer Courthouse Square for a group photo op.
What's going on?
Participants say the event was all about turning heads and having some fun.
Oh, look, I'm no pervert, but we want to see no pants. So basically, evidently, people took public transportation with no pants. That happens all the time. All right, so I got some other things to get to next week. Little heads up on, if you want to do a little research, because I'm going to ask you to weigh in on it, the ham dogger. Anybody familiar with the ham dogger? Patrick, look, I'm not making fun of any poor soul's tragedy. I'm making fun of a poor soul who decides to go against every right-thinking process, light a fire, and die. You say tomato. I say Parnold Ulmer in a mason jar. Sarah Schilling coming up here just out of the break. Don't forget, you still got a chance to win a $10 gift certificate from the Barbecue Superstore. And a barbecue invitation kit from DerekArt.com. Also, Mr. Retro. Mr. Retro.com. Folks, March 15th and 16th, the Smokin' at the Run Barbecue Contest will be held at the Buffalo Run Hotel and Casino in Miami, Oklahoma. I will be hosting the event, a first-time barbecue contest sanctioned by the Kansas City Barbecue Society. There is a guaranteed $7,500 overall purse. The entry fee, $200. You get a 20 by 40 spot that's on pavement. There are a few electrical spots as well with 20 and 30-amp runs. Don't wait another second. Visit BuffaloRun.com, then click on the banner on the homepage. Full details and contact information can be found right there. Kick off the competition season in spectacular fashion. Join me along with many other pitmasters who will be vying for that first grand championship of the year at this event. And this competition is being organized by David Quails. He is a competition cook. He knows what it's like to cook in a well-run contest. So you know he's going to put on a great event. Again, head on over to BuffaloRun.com. Click on the Smoking at the Run banner for more info and to get your application for entry submitted. $200 entry fee. 7,500 U.S. bones, guaranteed overall payout. And me hosting the event. Yeah! $200. Easy. Gotta be worth it. We're going to have a great time. I would love to see you out there as well. March 15th and 16th, Smoking at the Run in Miami, Oklahoma, at the world-famous Buffalo Run Hotel and Casino. BuffaloRun.com. That's BuffaloRun.com. I hope to see you there. We're going to have a great time. Mike Peters is going to be there as well. He RSVP'd off of this show last week just because of me. Also, you know, David was going to put on a great contest in the casino. That's totally secondary. Forget about that. All right, we're coming back with Anheuser-Busch Sarah Schilling right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. 877-448-0433. Greg at the BBQ Central Show. If you want to jump in. Thanks again to Harry Sue for joining me last hour. My first guest in the second hour is a beer expert. I met her when I was down at the Kingsford Invitational this past November. I was literally blown away with how much I didn't know about beer, and I love beer. Segment was born in my brain. Lucky for me and the rest of you Centralites, she has agreed to come on and spread the vast knowledge of beer to us tonight. She is the Brewing Raw Materials Process Manager of North America for Anheuser-Busch. Let's go ahead and race over to the hotline and welcome first timer to the show, Sarah Schilling. Sarah, how are you?
Great. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous, Sarah. I appreciate you making time for the show here tonight. I know you're kind of West Coasting it. Having you on the show is a complete honor for me, and I appreciate you taking the time. So first questions first, what does the raw materials process manager for Anheuser-Busch do?
Well, really, I help make sure that we have quality materials, malt, hops, rice, corn, everything else going to all of our breweries in North America. Right now, I'm out here at the 2013 American Hop Growers Convention doing just that, looking at what's out there in the future, too, and making sustainable methods and line of sight into new varieties of development that also support the agronomics and economic benefits for all of our suppliers. But a lot of supply chain management and quality management of all raw materials used to make beer.
All right, so are there other people in your capacity around the globe, or are you pretty much it?
No, definitely. I'm responsible for doing this function in North America, and I have a couple of folks that work with me to help execute all of that kind of fun stuff. And then there are counterparts of mine in every geographical zone. We have currently five other zones, such as Asia Pacific, Western Europe, Latin America North, Latin America South, that are also responsible for similar activities. So I'm really focused on U.S. and Canada at this time.
Sarah Schilling joining me here on the show. Is this an industry that you've always been on, Sarah?
Yes, pretty much from day one. You know, I co-opted for Anheuser-Busch when I was in college, had a great time, but I wanted to look at something else, so I worked for somebody else. for a little while I was in college, but I'm an engineer by trade, by study, and the dot-com bubble hit right as I was getting out of school, and I kind of graduated with the philosophy of, you know, the economy goes well, people drink beer. The economy goes poor, people drink beer. So it's been a very successful venture for me. And a lot of fun along the way. At the end of the day, every time, you know, it gets a little tenacious, I'm thinking, at the end of the day, it's not that bad. I still get paid to make and taste beer for a living.
So a lot of people know Budweiser, Bud Light, many other Anheuser-Busch brands. Can you give us a little bit of background about how the company came to be?
Really the company came to be through a romantic adventure of Adolphus Busch and Everhart Anheuser. Everhart Anheuser's daughter, Lily, married Adolphus Busch, and some would say the rest was history, but there's been a lot of ups and downs in the company, and that was all in the late 1800s. St. Louis is a strong German immigrant city, similar to Milwaukee and a couple of other beer-centric cities in the U.S., there was a lot of small brewers, kind of equivalent to microbreweries today in the U.S., and there were a lot of folks that made up the St. Louis Brewing Association at the time. Several of them got purchased by Anheuser-Busch, and their brew pubs were used to distribute our products locally. But then really the game changer was when Prohibition hit, and we were one of the few that survived based upon some creativity to provide other products, change our yeast culturing facility for beer into making yeast cultures and supplying yeast for the baking industry. We made non-alcoholic malt beverages, such as the Bevo malt beverage, which is the building name of our packaging facility in the St. Louis Brewery. Did some other really random things around engine maintenance and refrigerated cars, which helped us long-term ship beer across the country. But then coming out of Prohibition, we were definitely one of the strong survivors, and our supply chain network throughout the U.S. has helped us grow strong ever since.
Sarah Schilling joining us here on the show. The corporate website, of course, Anheuser-Busch.com. One of the biggest changes in the company, of course, you know, was when InBev, a non-American company, bought Anheuser-Busch, a company whose reputation and history deeply rooted right here in this country. Was there any negative to this move? And perhaps more importantly, how has it helped Anheuser-Busch?
Yeah, you know, obviously negativity comes from everyone's perspective on what happened. From my vantage point, it's been some challenges, but a lot more successes than I would say negatives. The biggest thing is when we got bought was the timing of the U.S. economy just kind of going through rough times. So some would say that maybe enabled what happened. I would say some huge positives for me, the overall business of making beer and making Budweiser has stayed the same. So that's been pretty critical. I also think that new innovation in both brewing process equipment and also in new product development has really started to follow a more structured methodology. And I think that the outcome of that is laid some solid plans for the future, and you're starting to see that come in the dividends. We are a public traded company, and for me, seeing that aspect of my life and my investments grow in rewards equal to my investment and time at work has been very rewarding and satisfactory. Other benefits as a company and in our distribution network in the U.S., craft and high-end is definitely growing in the United States. Some might not know, but we were able to wholly purchase Goose Island Brewing Company a couple years back, which has given us really insight as to how the craft industry works and what makes it successful, as well as, now within the United States, we have a very, very diverse global portfolio of brands to offer, both an import to the U.S. and then also Budweiser, as well as Beck's and Stella Artois are our three global flagship products, which just means out of everything that our company produces, I think it's more than 180 brands worldwide, we're able to distribute those everywhere we do business. And those are our core focus of entering into new markets. Since the change of control in our new company, the growth of Budweiser or the slow of decline of Budweiser has really taken traction. So sales of Budweiser in the United States have been declining over the last 20 to 30 years, and that decline of sales has started to slow and is not quite net zero at this point, as well as export sales and international sales of Budweiser have grown exponentially. I think we now make Bud in 41 or 42 breweries around the world, and that's huge. And I can tell you that I participate in panels where we taste that beer every month, and the quality of beer that we're able to supply fresh to our customers worldwide is bar none best out there.
Sarah Schilling joining us here on the show. She is the raw materials manager for North America for Anheuser-Busch. When I was in college back in the mid-1990s, there didn't seem to be like near the amount of specialty beers or microbrews as there are today. Maybe we're at the height of it right now. I almost liken it to that rise of wine popularity over the last 5-6 years or so. Do you think that this has led to a rise in beer making at all?
You know, the beer industry as a whole has been somewhat flat to very slight increase in the United States. Some phrase it as a share of throat. And I think spirits had a flare-up in the time frame you're talking about, the late 90s, early 2000s. But really, in the last maybe 5 to 10 years, beer has taken a stronghold and is really coming back. You know, a couple of things are out there. There's a lot of options that are available to people. And, you know, the Internet, social media has really kind of opened this whole channel of communication, of buzz and people talking about the newest niche thing. You know, I guess the biggest thing I see both as a consumer and as someone working in the industry is there's no more hype available out there than somebody saying, hey, I had this one-of-a-kind experience and you should go try and find it too. And Craft Micro offers that, as well as people who brew special batches of seasonal or you know, trial type of energy. And I think when you were in St. Louis, you saw a little bit about what we were doing as AB with that and engaging our brewmasters. So people are definitely looking to be part of something that's new, up and coming, and that they can help generate their own buzz and feel special.
Sarah Schilling joining us here on the show. So I want to make sure I get into this tonight. You led the beer pairing luncheon at the brewery tour I was a part of in November for Kingsford Invitational. And, you know, I learned a lot. The pairing was great. But what really caught my attention were these few things. And let's get in them kind of point by point. And the first thing is this. You know, back in the day, I thought bottled beer was like this. We were living high on the hog, and you could show up to a frat party or a house party in college, and there was bottled beer, and it was like best thing ever. But maybe it's not as great as folks think when you're drinking it right out of the bottle. You know, what's that process, and why should people maybe think twice about just taking it out of the bottle versus pouring it into a glass?
Well, to give a little bit of background about, I think, the discussion we got into, in order, there's a couple of components that stale beer prematurely, and namely oxygen and light. As such, if the reasoning is all behind hops and some of the other components of just making beer. So that's typically why beer is packaged in amber glass, unless there's some sort of processed hop or particular light struck note that's characteristic of that beer. A lot of German European pilsners or leather lagers in Europe are associated with green glass, and so therefore they may have that light struck character as part of their portfolio and their overall brand profile. But in addition to the hopping characteristic of what oxidizes a beer, the other is just contact with oxygen. So when we fill a package in the operations department, we first purge that can or bottle using CO2 to try and push out all of the oxygen and just standard atmospheric air that's in the bottle or can. And then we fill the product with liquid and crown it or lid it with a can lid and steam it. So there's obviously in the headspace some excess CO2, not air, that's in the package, which is a good thing. That will help keep your beer fresh. But if you're just going to pop open a package and start drinking it cold immediately, there's some of that excess CO2 that's either gone into solution in the liquid or is in the headspace that if you just let it kind of go to your stomach can help fill you up prematurely. So really the proper way to enjoy a beer, bottle or can, is to take a glass, a very clean glass, not something that's had milk in it previously that might have some fatty acid residue. Best way to get beer clean glasses is a way to just rub them, the interior, with salt and try and have a dedicated fleet of glassware for your beer sampling and enjoyment. But pour it straight down the middle. It'll regulate the flow. Don't let just gush down the middle, but pour it straight down the middle. Let the excess CO2 come out of suspension. You'll be able to produce a nice foam collar, probably about an inch and a half. And it'll look nice and pretty in the glass. You should see the carbonation coming up from the bottom. Hope you're getting thirsty at this point. Then you're letting some of the excess CO2 release, and you're enjoying the proper amount of carbonation that occurred in the beer naturally without any of the excess carbonation from the package. And then you won't feel full prematurely. So I guess those are all things that I think are critical points about how to properly serve and enjoy a beer. Rick, you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Had myself on mute there. Sorry about that. When you go to like a bar or, you know, your local watering hole and you order something on draft and you see the bar guy grab a glass off of the shelf and he immediately holds it like off to the side and there's like zero head and he thinks, you know, he gives you the beer. He's smiling like he's just done you the biggest favor in the world. So obviously he's not also doing it the right way.
Yeah, and I would say most folks who work in the industry would be highly critical of their draft servers, but make sure that you have a relationship with someone before you're correcting them and what they do. You know, there's a kind way to ask someone to serve you a beer differently. Definitely just getting more liquid in the glass is not going to help them increase their sales. If you feel less full by every sample you have, you're probably likely to enjoy another. And that might be one selling point to help them give you a proper pour. As well as, you know, the biggest thing that always frustrates me is if I see somebody pour a draft beer and continue to immerse the nozzle from the draft tap into my beer. Never know how often it's been cleaned, and it's always exposed to the atmosphere. So also not a great way to make sure that you're having a pure beverage.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of gross, right? When we're breaking it down.
Yeah.
Yuck. Sarah Schilling joining me here on the show. She is, well, first of all, the corporate website, Anheuser-Busch.com, and she is the raw materials process manager, North America, for Anheuser-Busch. So, you know, we talk about bottle, we talk about draft. Is there a proper, like, can pour method? Is it the same thing as a bottle? Is that a whole different thing?
I would say it's very similar to the bottle. The one thing about a can is you can't pour too hard. You definitely have to wait to regulate the flow out because the same hole in most can technology, the same hole that you're pouring out of is where the vent back into the can exists for the displacement of air going back into the can for the liquid you're pouring out. So, you know, just pour it nice, gentle down the middle. Again, allow some of the excess carbonation to release. Don't allow it to overfoam. But don't pour it on the sidewall so that you get no natural foam, and you'll have the best-looking beer you can possibly have out of a can. Should look not much different at all, if any, from a bottle pour.
Sarah, do you have a favorite beer right now? If we hit up the bars down in California, is there one specific beer you're looking for, or is it just like a pairing thing with you at this point?
My favorite beer of choice is always Budweiser. I don't just say that because I work for the company, but I definitely enjoy the crisp, refreshing finish with a slight malty character, gentle hop of a Budweiser, a little bit floral, a little bit fruity. Another product, though, that I really enjoy is our new Budweiser Black Crown, which has come out. It's a little bit fuller beer, a little bit higher in alcohol, a little bit more malty. And I really love Shock Top. It's a beer that's made with malted wheat, has a much fuller flavor, and also has orange peel, lemon peel, lime peel, and coriander added to the brew kettle, which offer it a very complex aroma, and it's an unfiltered wheat beer, so you'll notice it's not clear in the glass. It actually has an intentional turbidity to be true to style. I really just love the refreshing character that the citrus adds to that beer.
All right, Sarah, I'm going to ask you one more question here before I cut you loose, and I appreciate the time you've given to the show tonight. 10, 11 years ago, I was talking with somebody, and they proceeded to give me a dissertation on Bud Light and Natural Light. And we're looking for you to debunk any myth or any untruths that the internet hasn't spread or this idiot that was talking to me. And this is what it was. Budweiser doing wildly successful. They wanted a light beer, so they marketed Bud Light. I'm sorry, they put out Natural Light. That didn't sell as well, so they took it off the shelves and then rebranded it as Bud Light. And then after, you know, however many months, they put Natural Light, same beer as Bud Light, but just at a cheaper rate. So basically what I'm saying is somebody had told me that Natural Light and Bud Light are the same, and if you did like a blind taste test, you would absolutely not be able to tell the difference. Is that a complete urban legend and myth, or is that kind of true?
It's a complete urban legend. There's a little bit of truth in the history of evolution, in fact, that Natural Light was the first light beer that Anheuser-Busch ever produced. So Natural Light preempted Bud Light. The whole evolution of how we got to Bud Light, I'm not sure, other than it had probably something to do with product pricing and being in the premium product portfolio of the company.
Yep.
But I assure you that Bud Light is not a watered-down version of Budweiser. The wort or the brewhouse process of producing a fermentable sugar extract for the yeast to consume is unique for Bud Light, as it is Budweiser, as it is Natural Light. And today, Natural Light is a much higher fermentable wort, so the same serving of Natural Light has less calories than a Bud Light, and a few less carbs as well. So it's what we would call ultra-high RDF, the Natural Light. Bud Light is a medium-range fermentation, higher range on natural fermentation. Wort and Budweiser is pretty much where it's always been, at the same calorie carb portfolio profile from day one.
Sarah Schilling joining me here on the show. Anheuser-Busch.com is the website, and she is the Brewing Raw Materials Process Manager for North America for Anheuser-Busch. Sarah, appreciate the time tonight. Thanks for coming on. And maybe, you know, some point down the future, we could do a little beer pairing and barbecue tasting type thing.
Yeah, certainly. It's hard to taste over the radio, but we can talk a lot and make everyone's taste buds water around beer and barbecue.
All right, Sarah. I look forward to doing it. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great night.
Take care. There she is. Sarah Schilling. Anheuser-Busch. That, by the way, not a sponsored segment. Rat bastards. You know I wish it was. You know I wish it was. So if you think I'm shilling... shilling for shilling! No. Not. All right. The badass bitches are in the bullpen. At least two-thirds of them are. There they are right there. Boom. Look at that. Let me talk to you quickly about the longest-running sponsor of the show, located in Warminster, Pennsylvania, the Barbecue Guru. Gang, if you've been thinking about automatic temperature control devices for your cooker, stop here. This is the company that started it all. They are the creators of this technology. Why would you buy one from any other company? Not familiar with how these little beauties work? I'm not going to get into the minute details, but imagine a product that allows you to set your pit temperature, and once set, it keeps running at that set temperature all the way through the cook. Sound too good to be true? It's not. This is real-life technology that you can take advantage of right today. There are currently a number of different models to choose from. The most popular, of course, is that a ProCom 4 wireless. I'm sorry, it is not the ProCom. It's the CyberQ Wi-Fi, ladies and gentlemen. Also, the CyberQ2, the DigiQ DX2, and that newest unit, the PartyQ, at $129 for most cookers. The PartyQ, easiest point of entry into pit temperature control devices. It's a self-contained package that runs on AA batteries. Of course, if you're looking for a cooker, look no further than the Onyx Oven. The Onyx Oven has been winning on the competition circuit as well as in backyards all over the country. It's a fully insulated unit, holds a lot of meat, accommodates half and full pans for food service, and works seamlessly with any of the Barbecue Guru pit temperature control devices. Do yourself a favor. head on over to thebbqguru.com. That's thebbqguru.com. And check out all of their products. If you have any questions about what to order, call them directly, 800-288-GURU. They will make sure you are outfitted with exactly what you need to get you up and running right out of the box. 800-288-GURU or thebbqguru.com. The Barbecue Guru, a breakthrough in barbecue technology. Ladies and gentlemen, these women are out of control already. You got to be kidding. Straight away, a $10 gift card from the Barbecue Superstore for you to win, and then the bitches of barbecue coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You can win. Now it's time to give stuff away.
Now, this is the prize music. Just relax. All right, gang, your folks to win a $10 gift card from thebbqsuperstore.com. Thebbqsuperstore.com. You want to win that? Fire me off an email. In the subject line, Babes of Barbecue. Spell out barbecue. Spell it out. Spell it out the way I would do it. There's only one way that I would spell barbecue. It's probably in the show. No, it's not in the show. The way I spell it out the right way. You get what I'm saying. For a $10 gift card to the Barbecue Superstore. TheBBQSuperstore.com. Babes of Barbecue. Good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. 877-448-0433. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Oh, we got a winner right here. No more emails. Because UMW Rustable wins. I don't know who the hell UMW Rustable is. Send me another email with your shipping info and put Barbecue Superstore. UMW Rustable. $10 gift card to you. Barbecue invitations coming up after the break. Guys, you raved about it last month and it's back. For what will be a possible recurring segment each month or so. They're very busy ladies helping me close the show tonight and on camera to boot. It is the badass bitches in the barbecue studio here. Hold on one second. Let me give you some levels, ladies. How are we doing today?
Good. Awesome. How are you?
Let's see. Do I have everybody right here? I think so. Good. All right.
You're really loud.
I know, but I have a limiter, so I can talk as loud as I want,
limiter?
And it doesn't really matter.
You need one
is of
those,
yeah.
A limiter?
I know this is you called. Didn't know? You didn't know I had a limiter?
Jesus,
my fitness forecast.
All right, so if you're looking if you're looking at your thing
totally
there,
not with the cancer.
To the left in the red, that's Becky. Say hi.
Hey, dude.
And then to the right in the gray with the purple and black hat, that is Becca. So we have Becky
hi.
And Becca joining us here. Before we even get into the segment tonight, let me tell everyone that if you're looking for advice, you want opinions on whatever, if it has to do with men or women or food or drinks, you name it. You have two experts on a veritable cornucopia of topics. Lames, if you want to talk to two hot chicks because it's not something that you normally get to do, feel free to call in
losers.
Or email questions if you're shy. Right. And we'll rifle through as many as possible. But before we get to that, what do we...
Yes, dear.
Questions tonight to talk about. Let me pull myself up here. First question, Becky didn't like it. So we'll start with you, Becca. What best Christmas gift that you got this year? Best Christmas.
See, I did get a new frying pan, and as dorky as that sounds, it was awesome. I do love it. Big.
What was your best Christmas present?
My wireless microphone
thingy.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Also, awesome. Well, now I have the wireless earpiece too, which is this thing right here.
Who got
that?
You
made
those?
A lot of noise. Don't do that again.
You did. I know. Horrifically unprofessional.
I was just reading your lesbian horoscope.
My lesbian horoscope?
If you were a woman.
If I was a woman?
If you were a woman.
Oh, we don't want to miss a word of this. If I was a woman.
If you were a lesbian.
If I was a.
Hold on, I got to get it.
If I was a lesbian woman, is that redundant?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hold on. Hold on. You're trying to squeeze yourself into a box.
Yes. Trying to squeeze myself into a box.
Why is that? That's wrong.
Don G wants to know what kind of frying pan you got.
Ooh, good question.
Do you have a make? Manufacturer?
No. No, it was something that my husband bought me from Macy's.
Macy's? You guys shop at Macy's?
It is, well, he
Go Sea Bear.
I know. Sea Bear did good. It was a nice pan.
Question from Barbecue Foods for you. He's Canadian, so we can't hold that against him.
I do love
him.
My Canadians.
America's hat.
I'm pissed he's not calling.
Is
love Canadians.
Canadian?
Who cooks better barbecue, Babes or me?
It's kind of a dumb question.
Of course, it's me. Duh. Durr.
Obviously. Well, why do you think we buy pork butt? We give it to Greg to cook.
Grandpappy of pork. Obviously, this is going to be directed to you, Rebecca.
Why is that obvious?
Becky. Well, because both of our names are Rebecca, and I'm confused.
I meant Becky.
How
often does Greg rub his meat?
Oh.
Daily?
Daily?
It was just clearly
hourly.
Daily.
Hourly.
I was just twice a day.
It was hourly. Next question for me. You know, this is a new year. We're now 22 days in, so we're right at the point where people decide to kick New Year's resolutions. I saw it on the news the other day. Becky, did you make any New Year's resolutions for this year?
Practically perfect in every way. Why would I?
Agreed.
Will you stop with the horn?
Sorry.
Thank you.
My sound and my show. Becky, New Year's resolutions?
No.
No?
No.
Who are you,
like
Cy Robertson?
True.
No.
I would... Yes. Jack. I would like to say I would work less, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we need to make money.
True. No more poor.
One of us makes money, and it's not me.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Yes!
How many times... That should be a drinking game. How many times Greg does this during
that
show?
Buzzes his horn and plays with his meat.
Doo-doo-doo.
I've never played with my wheat once on the show that nobody's ever seen.
I said that they can't see.
All right, we'll go back to you, Becky.
All right, what's up?
Favorite drink?
Vodka?
No, drink.
Vodka.
Vodka, wow.
You know, no, I like raspberry iced tea with raspberry vodka.
All right. So almost like your version of a Parnell Dahmer. Tea and vodka.
Yeah, and Jell-O shots, any kind of Jell-O shot.
Yeah.
Pudding shots.
Yeah.
Don't forget pudding shots.
We make mean. Can we do a, what do you call it? Cocktail hour?
Cocktail time?
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Like right now?
No.
Oh.
Can we star in one? And first
yeah.
of all, why are we so yeah. late?
What do you mean?
It's 10:30.
The show was booked out months in advance. I'm fitting you in.
It is a privilege. Sleep with you. You know what I'm going to get Greg for his birthday?
A privilege.
New sound effects.
Jesus Christ.
Some bullshit right there.
Oh.
All right. Becca, favorite drink?
Lately, it has been 360 cherry vodka and plain iced tea.
Not lemonade?
No. Plain iced tea. It's my diet drink.
Cherry iced tea.
Plain tea.
Plain tea.
Cherry
vodka.
360
wow.
cherry vodka. I'm very specific.
Bing.
So, I do... You know what? Maybe my second favorite gift was the 44-degree North cherry vodka my husband bought me. It was very, very good.
Headphones which, that fit?
Which tastes like Robitussin.
Oh, my God. It tastes like Robitussin. It was awesome.
It smells like it, too.
It does. It is really, really good.
All right. Instant feedback from here in the instant chat here. Does anybody have a question about, or does anybody like the taste of Robitussin? Because I think
I love Robitussin.
The only one.
Seriously. Cherry-flavored cough medicine. I love it.
Anybody in the chat room like the taste of Robitussin? Because that sounds completely icky to me.
I love it.
All right. Becca, will stay with you. Favorite dish, food-wise?
I do love me some food. is this before I met you or after I met
you? Doesn't matter.
Because your pork is really good. You do smoke a good ass.
Thank you.
You do. You
she
do.
Likes to eat your meat.
I do like to eat Greg's meat. Thank you. I'm pretty traditionalist when it comes to my food, though. I'm a comfort food kind of girl. Like homemade mac and cheese. Rich foods. Like, what did that get?
No, we eat the same thing.
See,
time.
I know. We do, too.
You make good meatloaf.
Meatloaf. I do make a really good meatloaf. You can't go wrong with some homemade mashed taters.
No.
I'm a pretty plain person. I really am.
So like the Americana
food.
Food. All right.
I like to get too experimental.
Becky Rampe, favorite dish? Is it the spicy sausage pasta that I've been making now two times?
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Easy.
So is the, what's that, the Mac Daddy?
Mac Daddy mac and cheese.
I wish I could say I had one that
two was... 2 pounds of bacon.
Shut up. Thanks for the invite. I wasn't busy that night.
There's none left after Maddie gets done with it.
Pissed.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't think about it like that. As long as I'm not cooking it, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Here's the question that people are dying to know.
Really?
Yes. Becky, we'll start with you. We actually talked about this a little bit, but it was in regards to chicken. How do you take your steak?
Oh, I thought it was about Bigfoot.
Not yet. Not yet.
Medium?
Medium.
Yeah. It can't... I don't want it to bleed on the plate.
Becca, how do you take your steak?
Medium dipped in sour cream.
Oh, butter?
What?
Butter?
No, try sour cream.
Sour cream?
Sour cream is the...
What's wrong with the headphones?
Top three greatest condiments.
All right. Instant chat. Anybody dip their steak in sour cream?
Try it. Huh.
Have you cooked a steak in oil, like fondue? Is it
Are
like off the grill?
Us?
No, off the grill. Never actually, Carol, my girlfriend Carol, marinates meat fantastically. If I buy steaks, I prefer she marinates it, grill it.
Really?
All right.
You've never made me steak. I guess maybe that's how the other
That's
problem.
The problem. Great.
Ladies, question coming in from Steve.
Steve who?
Where's he from?
Steve Dosh.
Where's he from?
Is that really how you say it, is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's Steve Dosh, and I'm being...
Steve D.
I'm being nice.
Stevie D.
Stevie D. wants to know if Greg ever cooked in just an apron. Sans trousers.
Not in my presence. And now I'm kind of mad.
Nor in mine.
Get ready to drink. Yes! Never once.
No.
Never once.
No.
Plus, it's really cold, so...
We have children.
That's true, too.
Steve, yeah. I got children.
Pervert.
You're from Minnesota.
Minnesota. You should have called, too. It's a good accent.
Are any of you under the impression that if a steak is cooked medium rare, that it bleeds on the plate?
Okay, you know what? Stop it.
I'm not stopping.
Yes.
Do you think that there's blood in steak?
The red oozy stuff coming out of it.
Thank you.
Do you think
my
is that blood?
7-year-old is not eating that, Greg.
According to my father, who eats everything rare,
no,
such as one step above,
no,
alive, will Thank even you. Tell you it's bloody.
One step, 1 second above.
Okay,
I would go with 1 second as opposed to one step with my father. Yes.
Wheeze is a
Greg
dynamic
thinks it's
character.
Okay to give the kids meat that's still moving.
No, it's got to be cooked a little bit more and moving.
It's true.
All right, so...
if it's not blood, what is it?
It's myoglobin.
What the hell is
what is myoglobin?
It is not blood.
Let's challenge
Look,
me.
If it was
let's,
blood,
let's hey, go there.
All right,
Dr. Professor Rempe, what is myoglobin? Because Greg? It's got globin right. in it. Isn't that based on blood?
So if it was blood,
my Latin roots.
If it was blood,
if it spell
was,
it, Greg.
If it was blood,
I want myoglobin spelled.
Wouldn't it be
M-Y-O.
Wouldn't it be black?
G-L-O-B-I-N.
Wouldn't it be coagulated?
No.
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 Blood oh, hot.
I'm sorry. What was the last?
Thank God for Google.
There we go.
Thank God. I'm just saying that blood is going
Greg,
to be
where is
dark.
What? Tell me about myoglobin.
I don't know about myoglobin, but
then
I know.
How can you bring it up to challenge me?
Because Meathead said it.
Meathead.
Oh, some
said
guy
it.
Named Meathead.
He's going to be on next week. Meathead.
Do you think I care?
I don't know.
I don't live with Meathead, and he's not feeding my kids.
Oh, it's related to hemoglobin.
Which is found in blood.
Which is not blood.
Bullshit.
Cow.
Well, it says myoglobin's an iron and oxygen binding protein.
In blood.
Found in the muscle tissue of vertebrates in general and in almost all mammals. It is related to hemoglobin, which is the iron and oxygen binding protein in blood. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to vote.
What? You're going to vote what?
I'm right.
All right, look, it's we
totally,
got to move on.
Totally
I have
gross.
Your question.
Look, I'm right.
All right, let's go.
Come I agree on. With Becky.
Thank you.
What do you people think about this
you
Lance
people.
Armstrong character?
He's an asshole.
What?
I don't care what you want on the radio.
You know,
but at the same time, it's seriously fascinating.
Would you not have cheated if you had the chance?
And what's fascinating is he has been so adamant that he's not a cheater, and
that's
he
why
sued
he's an
the crap out of everybody who said he was. Oh. And then, by the way, he's done nothing but cheat. And you want to? I don't give a shit that he has one nut. That gives him no right to cheat. I'm telling you right. I don't care. I don't care.
She's got a point.
He's a cheater.
He's
and
a
he's,
cheater.
And today, I have one more ball than he does.
I agree.
Seven less Tour de France wins, by the way.
Actually, he got all those strips, so you guys are equal now.
That's same true. Amount of Tour de France. Drake,
did you date Sheryl Crow?
Never even once.
Were you a slimy dick and broke up with her when she announced she had breast cancer?
I would never date her.
Really?
No.
Why? I would.
She's too old. Dick. Hey.
She's 50.
I'm sorry.
Is she 50?
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
Okay.
All right, go on.
You know what me and Sheryl Crow have in common?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's right.
You both dated a guy who won the Tour de France zero times.
Right. You both dated a guy with one ball.
All right, look.
I'm not doing this.
Do it to Becca. She'll do it.
We're not doing this.
Of course
you have to read all of it?
Yeah. Becca's going to do the Stephen DeFranco read. Right?
This is a public service message to all the BBQ brothers and sisters from one of our show sponsors, Stephen DeFranco of Stephen DeFranco Jewelers, who is also a barbecue junkie.
Yeah.
Father's Day is coming June Sunday.
Oh, never
what?
Mind. Give it back.
Mother's Day comes first, you
Valentine's
jerks.
Day.
It's an old read.
Oh.
What's wrong with you?
I work off of old stuff. I just impromptu. Sorry.
Oh, well, clearly. Look,
clearly.
Here's the bottom line.
Go see Stephen DeFranco.
Any number of us that are sitting on this panel tonight have all dealt with Stephen DeFranco
He's
in some
a very
form
lovely
or fashion.
Gentleman, yes.
And here's what we can agree on. He has a substantial inventory.
Yes.
If you live in the greater Cleveland area, if you're passing through the greater Cleveland area, stop in the historic business district of downtown Willoughby.
Which he does not work in.
At 91
True.
And 84. And stop in and say, hey, Steve, I'm a big fan of the show. Rempe talks to you about you each and every week and says I should stop in and look at your inventory and then say, I'm a barbecue brother.
And will you clean my jewelry because I do it for free?
I'm a barbecue sister.
His dad's really cute.
And I want the hookup. Give me the freaking hook. Look, if you don't want dollars to fall off your earrings, your necklaces, your diamond rings, your... What are these things called? Bracelets. Fine. Do me a favor. Go into the store.
Yeah,
tell Steve, say, hey, I don't know Greg.
I want the earrings.
I don't want a discount. And stick it up your ass. And he's more than happy to charge you full price. However, if you're like me, if you're like anybody else in the world that wants a friend in the jewelry business, you walk into Steve or you call him. 440-943-2700 after you've perused the inventory on the website, which is stephendefranco.com. And you say, hey, Steve... calling you on the phone. Greg told me to ask you specifically because you're the owner of this place.
Dollar shots out there.
And boom.
Did we do them all?
Watch the dollars fall off. You're going to be very happy about the price that you get. Yeah. Of watches, earrings, bracelets, necklaces, custom bowls that he has. He's got
those
bowls.
Those are cool. The wooden ones? Those are pretty sweet.
He's got bowls.
Yeah.
Cottage watchmakers, you name it. The dollars are going to fall off because you sponsor the show. StephenDeFranco.com. Call him 440-943-2700. And tell him you're a barbecue brother or sister. We're coming back with more of the Babes of Barbecue right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back. Last item for your winning pleasure tonight, barbecue invitation kit, compliments of DerekArt.com. That's D-E-R-E-K, DerekArt.com. Can also be found at MrRetro.com. This will be a downloadable file sent to you from the artist himself. Thanks to DerekArt.com and Stuart Sandler for hooking this up. Went to high school with Stuart Sandler, ladies and gentlemen. Not Adam Sandler, Stuart Sandler. So in the subject line, put Babes of Barbecue Hot. Babes of Barbecue Hot. And you can win the barbecue invitation kit, compliments of DerekArt.com. Also can be found at MrRetro.com. Good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Your microphone. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. If you have any questions, call in. If you have any...
Is there anything?
What do we got?
I'm trying to read them from here.
Person who just won the electronic invitation kit is David.
Is David like Robitussin?
What's his sign?
I don't know if a David sign.
Let's look it up.
He would have to call in.
Did anybody end up liking Robitussin besides me?
I didn't see anybody that liked Robitussin.
Do they actually talk to you, or are they just talking to themselves?
It's a combination of both. Todd, I played Danko after the first break, bro. Tune in early.
Todd, this isn't about you.
David, send me your shipping info, and then in somewhere in the email, put a barbecue invite. I'll make sure you get that set up. All right. So we're talking about Lance Armstrong.
Okay.
Yes.
Cheater, full on, or what? Yeah. Becky? What do you think? Could you care less?
Well, the only important thing is winning. I could care less. I really could. I don't care.
You don't care that he cheated 7 times? You don't care that he...
It doesn't affect me.
You don't... Yeah, but this is sport.
So?
We have kids that are going to be in sport.
They should cheat in order
to win. Is this because you hate France?
She does call them freedom fries.
It's true, right?
She does. She calls them freedom fries. It's no french fries in your house.
You know what? I don't know. I really haven't thought about it. I don't care.
You don't?
No, I really don't care.
Becca?
I'm still fascinated by the whole thing. I really, really am.
Good for him. He found a way to win.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, he was just a lying sack of shit at the same time. I mean, really.
So were they
just
all, though.
So,
right?
But, I mean, once who went down first? Landis. When he went down.
Trust me.
But when he went down.
Finding Bigfoot is more of a sport.
And then when Lance Armstrong was just so adamant that he's never cheated in a day in his life with anything and blah, 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 blah.
Pretty cool.
Just full of shit. No, I'm more fascinated by it. I mean, I think it is upsetting. To some people, I mean, it's not upsetting to me. I'm really fascinated by it, though. Just somebody who lived and was so animate about a lie for so many years. I mean, it's almost impressive. I mean,
Marion Jones, right? Cheated all through the Olympics. I mean, he's not the first big name cheater.
There's no nominees for the Baseball Hall of Fame this year.
Is it different because he won 7 Tour de France?
But he didn't win
that'll,
7.
That'll be a subject that we get into here in a second. Okay. That he won 7 Tour de France and was adamant about not cheating, then decides to come out because he is a cheater. However, in between all of that, gets ball cancer, beat. Now, look, he had a cancer that is tantamount to a death sentence to most people.
It's probably all that crap he was putting in his system.
Wait,
beats it, starts this whole live strong, raises all this money for cancer. Do you not give him a pass for that?
What do you mean?
With all of the bad that he has done with the cheating, is that okay because
of
all
of the... Well, you're making it sound like we've given him a bad pass.
I'm asking a question.
No, I disagree. I mean, maybe I don't disagree. I think what he's done for cancer research and his Live Strong Foundation is very nice, and it's great.
Right.
But that's not an excuse to be a lying sack of shit, either.
Correct.
I mean, that's my point. I think what he did is great. I mean, I think people who use their name to promote something like that, I mean, that's good. That's what you should do. But to be a lying sack of crap about everything else and... sue the hell out of everybody who said he was a cheater. I mean, that's just, it's kind of, I don't know.
But does anybody care that he cheated if he didn't win 7?
No. Then he wouldn't have Live Strong, though.
So all the people that cheated with him in those 7 tours, who gives a shit about them? They didn't win, right? He's not the only one. And let me say this about prostate cancer. Cyclists find it earlier. They're sitting.
Right.
That's a good point.
It's true.
It's true.
Let me bottom line it.
I forgot you were a cyclist.
I can't, aside from Greg LeMond, I can't name one other cyclist aside from Lance Armstrong. He is bicycling, which people care about bicycling less than soccer.
Isn't it the European death sport?
Number
it
3. It's not the Tour de California. Easy. It's not the Tour de California or the Empire State Building Tour. It's the Tour de France.
Do you hate France?
Excuse me. Yeah.
As much as he hates Canadians.
With all the times that you mention that particular country, how many times do you call it France? Only when you mention the race.
The Tour de France?
It's not Tour de France. It's Tour de France, but you don't say, I go to France.
And they're not French fries.
It's the stupidest thing.
I think I'm going to say French fries. But
France fries.
Yeah.
If this was a football player or a baseball player that broke 7 different records, it would be completely different.
There was some article about football players and drugs, and nobody cares about them. Because, we only care about their brains.
Well, I don't care about cycling. I really don't.
Then why did you ask us about it?
I'm interested.
Why?
He wants to know what we know.
I need to know your opinion.
You could have asked us so much cooler questions.
I doubt I'm not that cool. Last question before we get into the real meat of the subject. We're going a little long tonight. I apologize. Does anybody know about this Manti Te'o?
Yeah, what about him?
I read...
What's with the Becky, if I told you that was dating a girl, I had never met her, well, maybe once or twice, that she had cancer and she died and ended up being a hoax, wouldn't you think I'm some kind of weirdo?
Well, before I knew it was a hoax?
If you're telling me you're dating somebody for 4 years and you never met her, you're not really dating.
Was it 4 years?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Your girlfriend's in a coma for 2 weeks, she was in a car accident, you never visited her?
I didn't know it was for 4 years.
And then she has leukemia. I mean, she's got the worst luck ever. But that's the problem with that generation. I was thinking about this, Greg.
That generation.
Wow, dude,
that generation. Wow. Because I am old.
You're old. That generation.
Is they were raised on the internet, and they believe everything they see, hear, and read on the internet. For 4 years. I mean, I know he's a football player, so he's not bright and everything, but...
But I dated him... during college. There's something.
No, but the thing is,
you saw me.
You met Greg. You lived with him.
Right?
Can you imagine? You really were in a relationship for four years
with somebody you never
met.
No, that's not a relationship. That's called
loser. A college
guy,
18 to 22 years old, is okay in a relationship with a woman.
College guy. No.
With a woman. Let's break it down.
For 4 years.
In college.
Break it down.
Right?
Relationship equals sex.
Yes.
Usually.
True.
Pound it. This guy didn't even have a frickin' webcam.
Right.
Where he was seeing her each and every night.
Right. She always had technical difficulties when he tried to do that.
Oh my god.
Seriously? it's like the woman's version of, I can't get it out.
I have a headache.
Yes.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And he fell for it, hook, line, and it doesn't play well for football players.
He's totally complicit.
They're not smart.
He's totally complicit in this.
Yeah.
There's no way that he... That
well, he's now we have to wait for the
girls
Katie Couric.
That have had sex with him are going to come out. It's going
to
come out.
Katie Couric, then they get to be on Katie Couric too.
Look.
She's going to interview him.
She's going to interview...
she had sex with
him. Katie Couric is going to interview...
I don't remember when,
they have the same agent.
Oh...
this is going to be kid gloves interview.
Well, this is also the reason there's issues with college sports.
Hold on a second. I'm getting an email from David.
Again?
Yes, David.
Don't hate the French. We don't win the Revolutionary War without them. They gave us the Statue of Liberty.
David, move out of your mom's
basement.
They
helped us win both World Wars.
Are you kidding me?
They were right about Iraq.
David's obviously French.
They didn't. France didn't let us fly over their airspace to go bomb Libya.
Did they contribute?
The food is great.
Is David single?
And so is their wine.
Does he live in his mom's basement? He does.
They aren't any more arrogant than we are. David, guess what? You're never allowed to email the show again.
Block
You're
him,
banned.
Greg. Block him
You're
now.
You're blocked. Get out.
I agree.
Sorry. They hate us.
Who? David?
The French.
The French.
Come on.
Who cares?
I care. Last question.
Got it. We knew it was coming.
God, I have no idea. Becky, we'll start with you. Is Bigfoot real?
Yes.
Totally.
What?
What? Why is he not real, Greg?
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Good question.
Why is he not?
Prove to me why the BRFO is not
Prove
onto
to me.
Something.
Prove to me how you can possibly say that Bigfoot is real.
How can you say he's not?
Show me one.
Show me one that doesn't exist.
Show. I see it every freaking show.
You know what? Listen, where were we at? Salt Fork?
Yes.
Clearly they exist.
I was just in Wycliffe at Pete's Pond, and clearly we saw a Bigfoot house. There's strange scrapings on the trees.
Both of our children
saw them.
You
can't explain this.
Greg?
Why
is he not real?
Actually, I prefer to call them Yetis.
It's definitely squatchy.
Yetis,
Bigfoot. It is very squatchy.
Squatchy, Sasquatch, squatchy. Whatever you want to call it.
You know what? You're full of shit. I have
currently,
seen you smell
obviously,
the ground for Bigfoot urine.
Seriously, come on. Come on.
Currently.
Matthew went into the little Bigfoot house. It smelled squatchy, he told me.
It totally was squatchy.
Totally squatchy.
Currently, there is as much Sasquatch evidence as there are alien evidence. I happen to believe that zero exists. I'll go so far as to say that
why
I think,
is your glass half empty?
No, I'll go
yes,
so far as
is.
To say
always, I bet you it
it's
is
always
that
half
I
empty.
think there's
I think.
A better chance of aliens existing than Bigfoot.
They
are
exist
you telling
as well.
Why do you think there's better chance of aliens?
Because have you ever seen the show Duck Dynasty?
Yes.
Are you telling me that hunters like that in blind?
Do you know Uncle Si is running for president?
Wouldn't have run across a Bigfoot at some point and pumped rounds
what
into them.
The,
have you
on.
Ever?
Wait a minute.
No.
Have you
ever
talked to Willie or Jace?
Because those two are only paying attention to something to shoot in the woods, not
exactly.
Bigfoot sneaking up behind them.
Exactly. Have you talked
Sasquatch
to Willie or Jace?
Smarter than the Southerners.
Greg, answer the question.
Now
Greg.
When was the last
Greg,
time you talked to those
who is smarter?
Two?
Than who?
Sasquatch or anybody living south of the Mason-Dixon?
Duh.
Well, we might be splitting cunt hairs at this point. But look.
What kind of hairs?
Hairs?
What kind?
Splitting hairs at this point.
I heard an adjective.
He did say it. Didn't he?
I heard an adjective.
Negative.
We need to bring that word back.
I think.
We are bringing it back.
I think we're splitting hairs at this point.
Okay.
No. What?
And why is Bigfoot creeping up on them?
He's not creeping up on them.
She said sneaking up on them.
I did. In the woods when they're hunting. Because Bigfoot's kind of smart.
You mean in Duck Dynasty?
Well, like, because he made the reference to it. There's all these...
Well, he's clearly seen how they treat beavers.
They don't like beavers.
They hate beavers.
They really don't like beavers.
It's like lesbians in boxes.
I'm very gentle with beavers.
Yeah!
I have to drink again. Hold on.
I'm out of a drink.
All right. Ladies, any final words before we sign off tonight?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
What?
I can't believe you don't believe in Bigfoot.
Suck.
I'm a proof guy. I'm a proof positive
guy.
Renee.
You're not.
You're Renee.
You
talk Did your dad
to
believe in Bigfoot? Because
Tuesday
Renee's
night.
Dad no. believes in Bigfoot.
No.
I want your dad on the show next week to tell me there's no Bigfoot.
Come on.
And you want to know what? Marley is staying up so she can FaceTime with him because she'll figure
Hammer.
It out for us.
What? Seriously, and Maddie's probably the smartest kid in the whole world. Both Maddies combined.
And my Maddie believes in Bigfoot.
You're full of it.
They exist.
What? Is somebody responding?
Yes.
Do they like Robitussin?
Robitussin.
Married two kids don't like Robitussin. Of course.
Obviously, she doesn't have two kids then. I'm just kidding, Mary.
Three kids, you might... Start chugging Robitussin.
I'm not going to have three things.
Not you.
Sea bear.
No more.
Oh, all right. Ladies, any final words here before we sign off tonight?
No.
We already gave them.
Thank you.
That's it? Thank you. All right. Hey, there they are. Days of barbecue right there. Boom.
Days of barbecue.
Who knew? This is Scott Greenwood from Fairfax, Vermont, also known as Scott.
Got to get to the.
He still didn't win that argument.
I won that argument. I will keep my microphone open and make me win this argument. All right, gang, all the way back in the first hour, Harry Sue of Slap Yo Daddy joined us. We talked about chicken, Central Lights. That's all right. Fine. We talked about chicken. We talked about cooking it to 145. Yes, it's done. Chicken at 145. They're going crazy right now. That'll be a subject for next month. Second hour, Sarah Schilling joined me from Anheuser-Busch. And then, of course, the Babes for closing out the show. Running a little late, by the way. If you have raw cast iron, season it each and every time it starts to cool down. Hit with a rake, get all the parts off, and then hit with a little Pam Crisco. Let it re-season each and every time. Generations of rust-free service to come also. September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. Until next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is your program host and proud U.S. American Greg Rempe. Good night now.